This is Good News Hour, the program wholly dedicated to the glorious gospel of the happy God. Your speaker today is Evangelist John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And once again, we shall turn to the unerring word of the eternal God. Now, we do like to, in bringing our messages to you, see to it that we never fail to bring out the way of light and the way of life and the way of salvation as it is revealed therein. And as a matter of fact, we feel that a message would be lost entirely unless we brought before our hearers the way of salvation. And of course, that is good news. And we have frequently pointed out to you that the word gospel simply means good news or glad tidings. And as a matter of fact, all the Bible is not gospel. You know, there are those who say that if you were to ask them the meaning of the word gospel, they say, well, it's synonymous with the word Bible, but that certainly is untrue and far from being the truth. You see, the gospel is good news, and certainly it isn't good news to tell men and women that they are lost if they've never been reached and saved by the grace of God, and that if they continue that course, they would be eternally lost. That wouldn't be good news, and I wouldn't be before this microphone today. As a matter of fact, I'd never, never want to be on the air unless I had a message of life and a message of salvation, a message of deliverance to those who hear. Now, it's good to be reminded again and again of what sin is, of sin's true character, and then not only of the true character of sin, its origin, and so on, but it's nice to be reminded, too, of sin's remedy. And I should like to be able to do both today. If you were to turn, for instance, to the fifth chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans and read there at verse 12, we read of sin's origin. And I shall read it to you. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, that's a broad and that's a sweeping statement. And there's no way around it. There's no way over it. There's no way under it. It's one of those sweeping statements that slays us all in the presence of God. But you know, facing facts is invaluable, and especially so when it's a matter of eternal importance, when it's a question of our own souls that are at stake. And I trust if you never have faced these facts in the light of the truth of God, that you may begin right today, that you may be like little Samuel of long ago, who said when he was brought face to face with the Lord of glory, he said, speak, my soul, hear it. And you know, he was conscious of the fact, not at first, but a little later, that it was God that was speaking unto him. And so he could say then, speak, Lord, thy servant, hear it. And if you want to be sure of having your sins forgiven and having the present possession of everlasting life, and the unfathomable blessings that God has for you, I'll tell you what attitude you should take. You know, we speak sometimes of posture as to prayer. Frequently people have discussed that. Should we pray sitting? Should we pray standing? Should we prostrate ourselves when we pray? Should we hold up our hands and so on? Well, it's interesting to notice that the Word of God has a great deal to say about all of these postures. But you know, when it comes to the matter of salvation, there's but one way of approach to God, and that is, I must take my place before Him as a sinner, lost sinner, helpless sinner, hopeless sinner, and hang my all for time and for eternity upon the accomplished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is to say, the work that He accomplished upon the cross. Now then, we have been pointing out to you sin's entrance into the world. And further, we saw, too, that Man was the gateway through which sin made its entrance, and then this one sweeping statement that says, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, you realize that, and you're conscious of that, I'm sure, every day you live. Maybe you're so busy, you know, we're living in a busy world now. We have so little time for those things we want to do, or maybe the things we'd like to do. But you know, we're all made conscious of the fact that each day is bringing us nearer death. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death stalks the highway. Death is approaching. Death is getting nearer to you every breath you breathe. But you know, it's wonderful to face this fact, but it's wonderful to see that God has a way out. Now, I know that all people are not going to die. The Bible doesn't say that. You see, there's a scripture that we quote sometimes, found in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, that says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, there are those who quote it and say, as it is appointed unto all men once to die. Let me remind you, all men and all women are not going to die. There's possibly thousands, unnumbered thousands, living today that may never pass through physical death, who may be shouted out of this scene into the presence of God, and thus to be forever with Him. Now then, we have seen then, shall I say, sin's entrance into the world, or sin's origin. Now I should like to call attention to a passage that brings before us the result of sin. And of course you would find that in the second chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And by the way, I might quote it to you. It says in verse 1, and you hath he quickened, and that word simply means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, or the children of unbelief. Now, if you've never read that passage, I'll tell you what to do. You jot it down just at this moment. Ephesians chapter 2, and read verse 1, read the entire chapter. It's most interesting. And in the first few verses, we get man's desperate, hopeless plight. And then following that, we get, as we have suggested to you, God's provision. And the way out for men and women who come as sinners, pleading no merits of their own, but casting themselves upon the justice, yes, and the mercy of our God. So that we saw in Romans chapter 5 how sin made its entrance into the world, and then we see from the second chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians the results of sin's entrance into the world. And shall I stress it once again? He's writing now to these Ephesians. You see, the apostle Paul was bringing a message to them and reminding them of their high and their holy calling, reminding them of their portion, their possession, their position in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what he did? He brings out an old photograph. And that's exactly what you have in the first three verses, is an old photograph of these same people. And it was not exactly as you have it in Romans chapter 3, where you have the life size, but at any rate, it was a reminder of the awful condition in which the grace and the salvation of God found them. And listen, friends, it did in no sense flatter them, but as we have frequently pointed out, it did flatten them. And then he tells them something that's very interesting, very good, and very grand. Now he said, you were dead in trespasses, dead in sins, but you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. I wonder if all who hear me this day can say, well, that has taken place in my experience. And that's the reason why we tell you that we have good news for you. If you have never been quickened by the Spirit of God or made alive in Christ Jesus, if divine life and eternal life has never been imparted to your dead soul, we're glad and happy possible news that could ever fall upon your ears. And even although you might take a glance, and maybe you should, because you may be there even just at this moment, perhaps some of you who are listening in are saying, well, I hope that someday I'll be able to say that I have been quickened, that I have been reached, and I have been saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then, this is your condition if you haven't. In time past, he says to these Ephesians, ye walked according to the course of this world. Now listen, the course of this world is a downward course. And then those who travel this downward course, as we already reminded you, it's according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of unbelief. And so it's true that we are all unbelievers. Now I shall point out to you what I wish I could have said something about, but we cannot. First we saw sin's entrance, and then we saw in the second passage that we read to you the result of sin's entrance into the world. And then I'm so glad to be able to tell you that there is a divine remedy. Now if you want to see this divine remedy, I'll tell you what you do. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1, 2, 3. Read verses 1, 2, and 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll find God's remedy for sin and for those who are sinners. And then we get to, in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 13 and verses 38 and 39, sin's forgiveness. And perhaps I should just quote that to you. In the Acts of the Apostles, read verses 38 and 39, Acts 13, 38 and 39, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached or proclaimed unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, find yourself out of the camp of the unbelievers. Find yourself amongst those who have come to him, who have believed him, accepted him, received him, and the joy bells of God's salvation will begin in your soul. They'll ring throughout your life and throughout all eternity.
And now a verse of a hymn in closing.